It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist. So, the Citizen Lobbyist, this has been a very interesting week. Tuesday night, double whammy. Not only did we have an assembly meeting, but we also had, of course, a primary election that is still being played out with some voting that is being counted and recounted and so on. Maybe we should start with the assembly meeting itself, because I found it very fascinating. It was a fascinating...
Mike, that was their regularly scheduled assembly meeting. And, you know, I can't remember having too many assembly meetings over the years on election night. That's usually one that they hunt down the road just because it's really intense for the clerk who runs the elections, too. But they handled it with grace. First time I've seen them block off that room or divide that room in half and be able to utilize that big room. So it made kind of for... One end was used for the elections, and then they had the wall across, and then the other side used for the assembly meeting. It was actually quite cozy, and I think I remarked to you that, that it reminded me of the days when we used to be in the basement of the borough building before the borough was expanded, but there was much more air flowing, and we actually had a place designated for the press to sit. So it was full, though, Mike. All the chairs were pretty much full in it. Assembly members were there other than the mayor and the city manager, who were both at AML, Alaska Municipal League. And so I thought that Assemblyman Beck did a really good job running the meeting.
Oh, yes. We started out and rolled through things very, very efficiently, focused. Certainly giving all people a chance to speak, but there was not anyone who wanted to speak to an issue and moved along. And much of the early part of that agenda just went bang, bang, bang. And then we hit a couple of areas, and that explained why there were so many people in the audience.
Right. I think Assemblyman Beck always does a really good job. He's very respectful and appreciative of the audience, which I, of course, respect. They did have a report from just one city manager, which was the city of Palmer, who apparently didn't go to AML, but he was there talking about the upcoming changes to the Glen Highway, which is going to all be a little different for all of us coming in and out of Palmer. And the phase one starts really in earnest here in the fall after the fair. Most of the work is suspended until the fair stops, as everything is. And then they'll start up after Labor Day and keep going, I guess, depending on weather. And so there's going to be some, little disruption there, but it sounds like they're prepared for it. They will hope to have just that the whole thing finished by 2020, or that portion of it. And then they'll start on the Outer Springer to the, the cutoff out there for the other portion.
Right.
So the part that... that's really disruptive is going to be towards the heart of that. Palmer, and that's happening right now.
Right, and anyone who's driven out toward the fair will notice all of the construction away from the highway, actually, with utilities and the rest of it, and a lot of
bike trails.
Yes, and the buildings that have been there for so long are being moved, and it has changed dramatically in a very short time. The viewscape right in there, and you get a sense of what will be once this is all done.
It is. I always really think it's great that the bike trails start coming in and formatting first. And of course, that's sort of the requirement when you get federal money to do things. But it's good to see those. We've needed those opportunity people to ride their bikes, and so we'll have a little disruption. But then, when the dust is all cleared, hopefully it'll all be a much better and smoother transportation area there. The fair does bring a lot of people to town. The manager quoted that just to come in town, of course, starting off with the parade that will start on Saturday, about 100,000 people get into town during the fair. It's hectic, a lot of strain on resources, but they feel very prepared to do it. Friday Fling is closed down now, but the golf course is still in great shape. So that was kind of the report from Palmer that I think people are always interested in.
Right.
It's a nice way to start. Not a lot of committee meetings. The assistant manager George Hayes was there in place of the manager was at AML, and really the only thing he had to share with us was where we were on the cyber attack. And they're plugging along on that. It sounds like they're getting most systems back up maybe in the next week or so. Is that what you understood?
Right. I had a chance to speak with him both before and after, and basically the earlier reports that he's been giving are showing that he's that large group of people that's working on this whole thing is on track. And later on in the meeting, I think the interesting question that was raised in part by people in the audience, just how much is this going to cost, and where does the money come from?
Yeah, so he's estimating it to be at $1.4 million, and they can only estimate at this point. He had a spreadsheet about what those estimates are around. They do have insurance for $1 million. It's the first, they just got that insurance. It's the first time they've utilized it, so there'll be a back and forth with that. And they're using a little bit of consulting of outside attorney to really dig into that policy and get as much out of it as they can. There was one question, I think, from Randall Kawaki regarding some money that was put in there that had to do with the Talkeetna sewer and water system, and it had to do with a computer that was part of the cyber attack, very kind of an old computer, and that it was hacked along with the software, which actually needed an upgrade anyway, so they're just going to replace that system instead of rebuilding an old one. So that was kind of asked and answered. So good to know there's a little bit of coverage there. That's always a tricky situation. Anybody that's had to go to their insurance company for everybody knows that it's the job of an insurance company to pay as least amount as they can, and so we'll just have to see how that shakes out.
Right.
Then they did approve the ballot, the proposed ballot. It's at the printer getting ready, the draft ballot. There was kind of an interesting conversation brought up by Assemblyman Mayfield having to do with a citizens' initiative that will be on the ballot asking that the borough election in October be moved to the November election. And if you recall, Mike, it is in borough code that the assembly, if they wishes, can include a pro and con statement, but they haven't really prepared that. And he was wanting to know if they could not just put a pro and con, but maybe put some statement in there about the cost to the borough of moving the election and the impacts to the borough so that the public was informed. And that went back and forth for a while.
Right. And that was curious. You're right, because one would have thought that this has been done before, and the question about who actually prepares it and gets it in there in a timely fashion so it can be printed would be long settled. But it felt like in this case, either because of the way, I'm not sure what, it was up in the air, and apparently at this point there was nothing that was going in on pro and con. For listeners who are saying, okay, so what happened? What was the result of all of that discussion?
Well, the result was they didn't feel that they had enough time to actually craft anything that, you know, went through the muster probably of the attorney and everybody else and missing assembly person. So they decided not to put anything on the ballot, to go ahead and print it as it is, and to rely on the borough communications to get the word out to the public regarding what the pros and cons are of moving the election, which I think, I don't know, personally, I think that's a little bit, I think it's a little disappointing that they weren't on top of that and didn't use their powers to reach out to the people that are wanting to move the election, which actually included who recused himself on the conversation, we should say, George McKee, who also was running for election. He was one of the sponsors of that initiative.
Right.
And it would seem it wouldn't have been a hard thing to do to get a pro statement and another statement that is just something they shied away from for some reason. So I think they just let things lie as they are and hope that the public will be informed. It kind of reminds me, Mike, of when they decided to change the school board seats and go by assembly seats. And there wasn't a lot of public information. There have been some impacts with that. And, you know, we don't know that it's really been any benefit to the voters. But, again, you know, informed voters are always the best. And it's, to me, a little disappointing. They couldn't have put off the printing of the borough ballot if it could have, or worked out a way to get that information to the public. What did you think?
I came away saying, okay, this is going to be problematic if the borough gets into in any way, even though they may do this, pro and con. Whoever puts that together has to be really careful about being able to deal with the specifics of it without laying on a nuance of one being, you know, putting a finger on the scale by maybe pointing out a lot of the costs associated with it and not so much about benefits one way or the other. I think it's a very difficult thing to do when you have an initiative of that sort that's brought forward, or the referenced one regarding a change of on the school board, to do this by the borough. And I suspect that almost a better way would be to have a discussion that is available and sponsored by a neutral body, where you have people talk about this, invite the clerk or invite the manager or invite people who propose an initiative, and have them talk about why they think that would be a better thing. And I think having a forum of some sort might be, and I'm not sure who would sponsor this. I'm looking for a neutral body to sponsor it, because I think otherwise you may have to create a pro and con group for the initiative that will take upon themselves the talking about their particular position on the initiative.
Well, we have some history with that. You know, there was a ballot initiative some years ago to make the mayor, who's basically a ceremonial mayor, into a strong mayor. And there was a group formed against it, and a group formed outside the borough. And it, you know, it took money and it took public participation, and those things can be divisive too. I think, you know, the state has a pro and con statement in their voter ballot, and they somehow craft it so that it's acceptable to both sides. So I don't think it's hard to do.
I guess when you say that last piece, that's the curious part to me. Acceptable to both sides, unless there's the initiative proponents presumably are clearly identified. Mm-hmm. But who's the other side that you would find it to be acceptable for?
Yeah, I don't know that if there's another side on that. There's just a fact, that, and that's where Mayfield was trying to go. He wasn't, I don't think, trying to give a pro or con statement. He just wanted to make sure the voters knew that moving the election, while it might sound more convenient, could be an additional expense to government, which is something people rail against all the time now.
Sure.
Because we use the state voting machines, which won't be available if our election is at the same time. The people will have to have multiple ballots at the ballot box, which gets confusing. There's also a question, Mike, that goes back to who reads the voter guides. How impactful are they anyway? Does that change if we just go to an all-mail ballot? My concern with it is, even above cost, just, I guess, and we could have a side conversation. Maybe we should have people in the studio to talk about it.
As we get closer,
local,
right?
Yeah. The local message getting absorbed into the bigger messages of big races, particularly in a presidential year when there's just so much noise in the room and people are already confused. I had several calls just asking me, you know, who's on the assembly, who's going to be up for election on Tuesday? And they weren't, you know, people just weren't on top of it, knowing that there wasn't any borough assembly. It was just the primary on Tuesday. So I just worry that it adds to the confusion. But it's a debate worth having, and they've, in all fairness to the initiative gatherers, they've worked hard because they feel strongly about this to gather up the signatures needed to put it on the ballot. But it's the information on both sides that is really the important thing here, and how you do that.
Well, that's a good idea.
Spending a lot of money.
Okay, it's a good idea. As we get closer to it, I think we'll send out some invitations to people to a way of discussing, laying out, first of all, just the facts of the cost differentials, because many people think, I believe that, oh, of course, we don't have two elections. We'll have one. That'll mean we'll save a lot of money. And I think there's some evidence that suggests, au contraire, that it's actually going to cost more. And but I haven't seen that laid out in great detail either. Well, let's move on to the rest of that, because there were a couple of topics that, caused a lot of people to talk for a long time. And I really want to get to those things.
And so the two big ones I think you're talking about, Mike, is there was an ordinance on there, and most of them were really the unfinished business. Well, two, I guess. One having to do with a ordinance suggesting that they get together a work group to talk about putting some standards together for commercial gun ranges as we become more dense and people our vast spaces filled up, we're getting more and more conflicting land uses. And when we a place that has really no zoning, they were assembly member was trying to get ahead of that by saying, hey, let's figure out just where the side rails is. Nobody is saying you can't have it. It's just where is the appropriate place, knowing there are some impacts of such a business. What should we do? Kind of like the marijuana regulation in that not every neighborhood is suited for a marijuana grow operation and a tower. There's been some other working groups around that sort of thing. So that was just an attempt to set up the working group. But boy, did they get some feedback on that, Mike?
Oh, right. A lot of discussion that basically I thought had people saying, we don't want to talk about this because whatever will come out of a working group will put a restriction upon what we can do now. I mean, I think that was the sum of it.
Yeah.
And there were certainly people speaking in favor of it, speaking against it, but it was around that question of, granted that the population is changing, and it may become more difficult to do certain things when you have more people around. there were a number of people that were reluctant to have any change to their present operation. And I found that kind of interesting. But ultimately, what happened?
They kicked it down the road, didn't they, until September 4th when the mayor and manager would be there. You know, the whole conversation kind of made me sad, I guess, a little bit, Mike, because I'm not sure everybody was really informed. There were some good points made about the makeup of the suggested makeup of the working group, which may have had some valid concerns.
Sure.
There were some concerns given that the fact that the assembly should, what I would say, man up and make these decisions because working groups are just an appearance of a process. That's fair. I've seen that happen too. But the other part where people are just so sure that even talking about an issue is going to rob you of your rights and that we don't really need government until it becomes our neighbor becomes a problem to us, it just makes me sad because we continue to have these conversations because we resist any type of planning because it's that, you know, that foreboding word of zoning that makes us like too much like everybody else. But we're unwilling to deal with the cost of the conflict.
And that bled over into a lot of discussion about a change in a
land use.
An issue associated with looking at ordinances and kind of cleaning it up and putting it all together without any significant change that drew a lot of accusations against the planning director, Eileen Probasco, when in reality, it, as I understood it and heard it, there were no changes being made. It was just a changing listing on, and making available more easily what was already written.
Well, let's talk about a contrast in two things, Mike. Number one, sure. There was something on the agenda we haven't talked about, and that was an overlay, establishing an overlay district for the Wolf Airport.
Right.
And that was brought by a citizen that worked 2 years on this to inform neighbors, build consensus, and basically they weren't changing anything about where
right.
people could have airplanes. They were just adopting a provision that made buyers aware if they were going to buy a house within this area, there were going to be airplanes on it because they were adopting their own code, so to say.
Sure.
This is an overlay district, and you can expect airplanes. So there wasn't any problem with disclosure and conflicts of people that moved in that now were upset because they couldn't have their morning coffee because there were planes taking off. That went through without a hitch. There were people there. They were informed. They spoke.
Well, there was some pro and con on that, though. There was pro
not
and con.
Not too much.
Yeah.
Not too much. Well, where did you hear the con?
Well, I heard some people step up and say it was unnecessary.
But unnecessary.
Yeah,
but
you're right. It did pass, and it went on through. But the other one, the broader editing, it was more of a almost a technical editing of code dealing with a variety of land use ordinances, brought a lot of people out of Chickaloon and other places saying you're imposing something upon us. And when the planning director finally was called forth to give a report, I think she pointed out pretty clearly this was not making any change, not adding any regulation. And yet the assembly, when they looked at this, said, well, we think that unfortunately, even though it's true, I took away that the assembly was saying because it was misunderstood, mm-hmm. we're not going to do it.
mm-hmm. And that's the point I was trying to make with the contrast. The people of Wolf Lake did their homework,
right.
laid the
yes.
education out. They told people there was only a couple distractors in the audience. By and large, people were there. They were informed. They knew what the overlay did. They knew how it affected their property. On the other hand, the land use, the pushback came from a specific area. Some would say one gentleman who likes to stir things up there, didn't come from anywhere else in the borough that had concerns. It was primarily two areas and people that really weren't completely informed. So I guess that's the contrast
sure.
I would make.
Yeah. Well said.
You're going to do a public process of something, and you and I have both worked on issues, Mike. You have to do your educating before you get to the table. And not only were the assembly not completely educated on it. I don't think they completely understood it, which gave them pause. But then they heard this battle cries from people that made them doubt what their own planning director was telling them. So, you know, it's unfortunate. I think it'll probably come back. It's unfortunate people want to have a smaller government, simplified and not so complicated, and then they don't take the time to find out when that comes forward how that is, and they read a lot of conspiracy into what's happening now. We could both be missing something, but
I
feel pretty strongly that the education portion of it and really hearing from the community councils and getting the support of those bodies who speak for the residents in those areas, getting all those kinks out is really has to be done before it's brought to the table.
Right, right. Good points.
Yep.
And so anything else before they got to comments? There's a couple things there that happened.
Nothing horrible. You know, both of us had a half an eye on the election returns
right.
were coming in, and I think they had a special meeting after that, so I think they totally wanted to go. We should say that the I think that the development standards, the multifamily development standards. Am I right about this, Mike? It got delayed till September 18th, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be back.
So the litigation that was being discussed in executive session had to do with that ongoing LNG. Question of where the LNG pipeline will end. Will it be here or will it be in Nikiski or maybe somewhere else? Okay.
Woo. Pretty cool meeting, but well run by, again, kudos for Assemblymember Beck. He did a good job. It was about 300-page packet, and I think he did a good job.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist.
You don't want to talk about the election?
I thought we'd save that for Valley Edition.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
There is so much, and now that I've discovered that at least three races are out there too close to call, and the implications for the rest of it, I think to do it, proper service, we need to spend a bit more time. We'll do it.
We need to take a deep breath, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it.
Disappointing.
Okay.
I will say a disappointing turnout. I thought there would be much more turnout, but
yes, even though it varied, and we'll talk about that it varied from a few percentage to 17% or more, depending upon some of the contests, which was kind of interesting too.
Yeah, very interesting.
Okay.
So, all right.
Thank you for calling today.
All right. Get out there. Enjoy the fair.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.